Krista.
I can remember the date. October 10th?
9th.
Today is October. No, are you sure?
Oh, might be the 10th.
I'm pretty sure it's the 10th. Today's Wednesday, October.
Oh, you are correct. 10th. It was the 10th. I was thinking it's of Tuesday.
10th. And we're here with more tech news.
Just called 1010 Level 1.
We are talking about the government today, which is always always a lot of good news, right? They always got our best interest at heart.
What terrible things are they up to?
And let me tell you, the house hunt continues, and I'm affected greatly by this story.
A teapot faces rare criticism from GOP senator on rural broadband failures. So what they're talking about here is that there's a fund, Universal Service Fund, where because the network build out in metropolitan areas costs less than rural areas, they try to charge it so that the cost is the same and then offset the higher cost of building out the broadband network in rural areas with subsidies from the more populated areas. That's how we've done it since the 1960s with telephone service.
Until Wheeler.
Until Wheeler.
Wheeler shut it down. And I don't remember the exact reason why, but I think it might have been because he was like, you guys are just taking this money.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not doing anything.
Yeah.
So what this senator is saying is, hey, the reason we're not getting any development in rural places is because you took away their money.
Yeah.
You got to give it back.
There were a lot of smaller ISPs that were benefiting from this, but most of the larger ones were taking the lion's share of that pie and not doing anything with it.
Pie, you say?
Was that a pun?
That was a pun.
So, yeah, I don't know that giving them back their free money is going to increase this. We should make performance goals, right,
yeah,
that
yeah.
they have to meet or pay it back.
We've got this thing, this document from 96, where it's like everybody in America, even in the ruralest part of America, can have 45 megabit symmetric connections. And I still feel like that is an okay number.
Well, we certainly don't get 45 up.
No.
Not around here. Yeah, well, it would be nice. It would be nice to have some rules, right? Some rules that might force them to do these things.
Just be reasonable human beings.
It's controversial, and it could certainly be abused. But California decided to take it into its own hands, and,
Well, the entire broadband industry is suing California to stop the net neutrality law. We reported last week, probably in the week before, that California has their own net neutrality rules, which are very similar to the federal rules.
I think Sunday is when they signed it into law.
Yeah, it hadn't been signed last week.
We did not cover the story because it hadn't happened when we were recording.
Now, as I recall, that law was a little bit watered down from its original version.
Well, they went back and forth.
Yeah.
It was like, two steps forward, one step back. But I think they did put the stuff back in.
Some of it, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's still pretty friendly for the industry. So what does it tell you that the industry is willing to spend millions of dollars in litigation fighting the law rather than just doing the relatively reasonable things the law asks?
Well, that could cost them a lot of money. And we're talking about pretty large sums here. Sums like, let's say, $2 billion.
Cities are going to sue the FCC to stop the $2 billion giveaway to wireless carriers. So in this situation, the FCC, instead of taking the laissez-faire attitude and saying the FTC is going to manage this, they're stepping in and setting cost caps on what it costs to use public right-of-way and deploy cell towers and things like that. They're not leaving it up to states and cities anymore. They want to set sort of federal caps on what that cost is. But the problem is that those caps are much lower than what a lot of cities and towns already charge for that access, that right-of-way.
Yeah, and a lot of towns don't want 5G because they're on the cancer bandwagon. And again, I don't know enough about it to argue either way. I'm not saying it's true or not, but I think this is also arguing, it's like, no, you shouldn't be able to turn this down. This is progress. You must not stand in front of it. And not only do you have to allow it, but here's the price that you're allowed to pay for us to install these machines and no more. So I think they'll get away with it. Well, California didn't just pass that net neutrality law. They went even further and they've begun the robot war.
You can't spot the bot in California. Automated bots are going to have to reveal themselves.
Spot the Bot would be a great children's book name. I was just thinking about that.
But it's about autistic children?
It's like, are you a bot? Yes.
Oh, no. I was just thinking Spot the Bot. Like, find the robot. And it was like dystopian. But
there's about four people in the audience that are still laughing about that.
Yeah. So the duplex was Google's thing,
yeah.
Right? And I don't know if they went forward with that any, but those some people claim that they faked those recordings. Remember those amazing recordings?
Oh, yeah.
Where you could not tell that Duplex was making the call because it was perfect. Yeah. But the worry is they're so good that you're not going to know it's a robot. And so California's saying the robot must admit up front that it is a robot.
What if you start telling the robot, like, your entire life story? It's like, I'm so glad you called. I needed this. And then also it's like, oh, by the way, I'm a
robot. Well, in the case of Google, it's just updating your shadow profile, you know, the whole time. Ooh. It's like, oh, tell me more.
This person's depressed.
And how did you feel about that?
Good job, Google. Good job.
Well, not to be outdone by fighting back against the government, New York steps into the fray.
This one I'm kind of a little bit surprised about. New Yorkers are suing Trump and FEMA to stop the presidential alert text messages. So we recently did a nationwide test on, could we send a text alert to everybody in America? Generally, that went well. New Yorkers are pissed off. And now the news water is wet.
This is, but when you read into this,
New Yorkers are kind
of, they're not saying you shouldn't be able to, like, it's not the text message that they're worried about. This is purely because it's Trump. Because you see, they say he could send things that are arbitrary, biased, and irrational. So in other words,
that's not what emergency alerts are for.
It's one of these. Well, I mean, I wouldn't put it past Trump to do that. Let's be honest. You
know? I wouldn't, but I like to think that someone there would be like, no, sir, we don't use it for that.
I think we talked about this when we first talked about the emergency alerts. If they ever delete Trump's Twitter, he's going to go right to this. This is going to be his new Twitter. But what these people are saying is, I'm so sensitive that I can't hear some of the things the president says because he's a bigot. And so I must be protected from this. So I'm suing.
So it's like, it's a potential thing.
That's about the implication. Could they countersue, though, if something terrible happens and they're not warned?
I don't know.
No one warned me, even though I asked to be taken off of this.
In the information age, is anybody really, like, completely
in an emergency situation, you might be. If your phone was, like, low on charge or if you lost it in some sort of horrible accident.
I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I guess I'm not, you know, a normie. But let me tell you, the links that I went through last night to quarantine myself to not see the results of that fight, I couldn't do anything. I was like, oh, I'll just go on Imgur. I can't. No.
Oh, yeah.
I had to read a physical book.
The fight. The game for my friends in our Discord was not the fight. Like, they didn't really care about the fight. They just wanted to find a stream that stayed up the whole time. So, like, they would post one and be like, oh, no, the sound's off on this one. Or, oh, this one just got taken down. I found another one. Yeah. That was the whole game.
And on the other side of that, there was an army of lawyers playing the opposite.
Yeah, whack-a-mole.
The other team. So, now this, okay. Here's something I want to bring up that's not really, it doesn't have anything to do with this story. But the last story. And I remember last week there was a story about the FCC, and it was like Trump's FCC wants to do, you know, X or something. And look at this headline, Democrats draft an internet bill. It's like they have to politicize it. They have to take red or blue in the headline. It's not enough just to report. It's like, oh, the government is doing something. They have to already set us like one side or the other.
So the GeekWire article is about a GDPR-like piece of legislation for the U.S., an internet bill of rights. You know, with big tech, so that you as a user of the internet know what your rights are with your data and this kind of thing. And this is, it's hopelessly idealistic. Everything that you have uploaded to all of the traditional companies has already been sold on the black market.
Did you just say it was hopelessly optimistic?
Yeah.
That's harsh coming from one day.
Well, I suppose, I mean, you're definitely right about that, but maybe going forward, maybe for the children. Maybe those little newborns right now have some ray of hope.
I'm still trying to juggle, like, what company was it that was fined over $100 million for their data breach, and meanwhile nothing happened to Equifax? Oh, Uber. It's like, you know, Uber lost all this information on their customers. It's a $100 million fine. And Equifax? Nothing. We've already lost as the consumer. Like,
you think about that story about the cafe that takes your personal information. Yeah. So if they get stopped in this capacity, they'll just start giving away, you know, free baubles for your info. And the younger generation will go for that every time.
You know, Fortnite loot boxes.
You know what the only real fix is would be to make it 100% legal for you to adopt lots and lots of alternate egos and personalities. Like, you could write the Social Security office and be like, I need 12 new Social Security numbers and names that go with them, and then just, you know, just seed the machine with all the disinformation that you possibly can.
I think that would have tax and money laundering implications.
Well, theoretically, the government would still know who you are, like which identities go with what real person. And if they don't keep that secret, we can at least hold them responsible.
Let's think about times that governments have tried things much simpler than that and failed spectacularly. How about India? Remember India?
Yeah. Oh, you guys in India, I'm so sorry for you guys.
It already got hacked.
The Aadhaar thing is so bad. It is so bad. It is so terrible.
Well, we've talked about China and the Dragonfly program, Google, China, coming together in a terrible, terrible union.
Speaking of things that are hopelessly optimistic.
Well, the vice president has stepped in and said a few words on that.
Yeah, Google. Pence says that Google should halt the Dragonfly app development because it's, you know, it's enabling this really hateful regime, blah, blah. I mean, I don't know, the irony. It's we say that as if the U.S. government hasn't done terrible, terrible things to other countries.
I don't think Pence cares too much about Chinese people's rights. He's just looking to get a dig in, you know, going to get that trade war going. Well, we've talked about the FBI. So they held the one guy in contempt because he wouldn't unlock his phone. They used a dead hand. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
They used a dead hand to get into the phone. They, what else did they? Of course, they used the Cellebrite stuff. And then there was the big Apple lawsuit, the FBI lawsuit. That was a big story. So the FBI wants to get into your iPhones. And this week, they found a new vector.
FBI forces suspect to unlock iPhone X with Face ID. So, yeah, they got a court order and unlocked his phone with his face.
I don't think they got a court order.
Oh, they didn't?
I'm not sure.
I thought they did.
No, because this was the first time, but it's different. Like, I think that protection states specifically, like, passcodes and stuff like that.
Maybe that they use, like, you're not entitled to your face or whatever, which would be funny.
That makes sense, right? Because you can be photographed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mugshots and whatever.
This guy, and as is always the case, unfortunately, this had to do with abusing children and, you know, pornography and that kind of thing. So, a dark, dark crime that you really can't defend. And yet these are the ones they use to push the envelope in terms of...
Pretty soon it's going to be forced face unlock at a traffic stop. It's like, oh, we got you for your taillight, but also these 12 movies on your phone that you can't prove that you have a license to, even though you totally do.
And then there was that defense distributed thing. a little suspicious. Well... So, you know, they're going to break into your phone. They're going to take away everything that you've got there. They're going to violate your rights. They're going to steal your data. And now they're going to just insult to injury. They're going to take it one step further.
They're going to shoot down your private drone.
Yeah. So Congress has passed a bill that lets U.S. authorities shoot down private drones because apparently they weren't allowed to do that before.
Now, what do you think when a flaming drone falls onto your shingles and starts a house fire? Who's responsible? Is that an act of nature?
I don't think that's an act of nature. I think it's the act of the U.S. government. But
so the way it reads, the actual wording is they have the right to disrupt, exercise control, or seize or otherwise confiscate a credible threat. And I think, you know, that includes buckshot.
I wonder if this means that, like, so there's also a law. Any sort of national forest you're not supposed to have drones in, or national lands, whatever. Does that mean that, like, the rangers will start shooting them down when they do see them? Like,
they could. Well, it has to be a threat, but by the nature of a drone, couldn't they say that's a threat?
The nature of the drone. You're not supposed to have it in nature. They're banned here.
I wasn't even going for that.
Just shoot them down.
Our pun game is strong this week.
Well, we talk about the Australian law, which was passed, or was on its way of being passed. I think they passed it, didn't they?
It was the encryption backdoor, side gate.
Right, yeah. Side gate. So they want all the impossible situation of the government having a key, but nobody else. Well, all of the industry and the big tech groups in Australia are upside down with anger about this.
The headline is Australian industry and tech groups unite to fight encryption busting bill. So the politicians literally do not understand math could be the alternative headline.
Based on the comments from our Australian viewers, they believe that wholeheartedly about their government. They don't have good things to say about
them. I think they hate their government almost as much as most Americans hate their government.
I mean, it's really not any more complicated other than the politicians do not understand math. I mean, we don't even need to bring computers into it. It has nothing to do with computers. It has to do with math. And they literally do not understand math.
Well, speaking of Australia, or at least their neighbor, we often talk about how difficult it is to protect your privacy, right? I mean, you're looking at VPNs and, you know, virtual operating systems that single use.
Dozens of aliases.
Like, yeah, just, you know, poisoning the well, that kind of thing. But it's all a lot of hassle. How far are you willing to go? Or another way of putting it, how much are you willing to pay? Well, New Zealand has set a price.
Travelers refusing digital stuff.
Oh,
you broke it.
You hit the thing.
Travelers refusing digital search now face a $5,000 customs fine. So if in New Zealand they want to search your devices and you don't want them to, well, you can pay $5,000.
That is one of those things
Reasonable, really.
It's like it's one of those laws that affect the poor. Yeah. Because to some people, $5,000 is not a big deal. Yeah. Like if, who was it, Johnny Depp that got in trouble for his dogs?
Yeah.
They eradicated rabies from Australia.
But he was just like, oh, just fine me. You know, I'll just pay whatever, fine. That's cool. Johnny Depp would have no problem. It's like, listen, I got 7 laptops. Just send me a bill. You know, you know what? Take an extra 20 for yourself. You know? You guys are doing God's work
here. That's 20,000.
And yeah, exactly. Bucks. So you can't have laws like that because it's unfair for the poor people who can't. $5,000. I mean, you can't have laws like that for a lot of reasons.
But beyond the fact that it's just they're horrible to begin with. It's like I would rather not have an involuntary suppository when I come into your country. It's kind of the same.
Listen, they're comfort coated. It shouldn't bother you at all. Well, this is the second time that the Fitbit, you know, it's saving lives, but it's also solving crimes.
Fitbit for great justice. The New York Times has an article here about a 90-year-old man killing his stepdaughter, or at least the Fitbit data.
Well, he doesn't really look like a killer.
Was used as evidence against him because, you know, he said he went to visit his daughter, but the Fitbit data showed that she died kind of slowly while he was still there, according to his own timeline. Yeah,
well, he gave him a timeline, an exact timeline of when he was there and when he left. And he claimed when he left, she was still alive. But the Fitbit shows that during the timeline that he admitted to, her heart rate spiked and then slowly drifted into nothing.
Well, he also mentioned, like, whatever problem he was there to fix, she was so grateful. Didn't she give him, like, roses or something?
Yeah.
Which is, like,
it's such a it's a funny story because...
Did it mention his motive? I don't remember the motive.
I think they were arguing about something.
He just choked her out.
But I can't find it quickly. But he was angry about something, and that was the only evidence they really have. I mean, his story wasn't great, and then they had that Fitbit. So. Well, like
someone giving you roses? I've been like, sir, show me the roses.
Come on, Krista, that was weeks ago. Well, we've talked about the copyright industry more and more. We have week after week, the copyright industry is just, they're scrambling. They don't know what to do because people aren't pirating as much as they used to. And these groups that were brought together to try to stop piracy suddenly maybe aren't needed anymore. But so they would just disband, right?
They were saying,
just go on their way and be like, oh, that was, we've won. We've won the war on drugs. We no longer need to fight it. Yeah.
Torrent Freak has the Canadian music group proposes copyright tax on internet use. And this is the story is really insidious, but you have to understand that most countries actually do have a copyright tax on blank media. So like buying empty music players and blank CDs and things like that, you would actually pay a tax on that, which goes to the Recording Industry Authority. So like if you are a composer or, you know, you're doing film or whatever, and it's just, you're just, like, if you're an independent YouTuber, you're not going to get anything from the industry. But if you participate in the industry, they'll get most of the revenue from that tax. You might get a little bit of revenue from that tax. They want to do this for internet service. So if you use more than 15 gigabytes a month, obviously you're a filthy pirate and you should pay a tax.
Yeah, and if you're thinking, but I don't pirate anything, well, you're a liar.
Yeah.
Because if you use more than 50, if you all you want is email and images and, you know, web traffic, 15 gigabytes is fine.
Hilariously, the people that are pushing for this cite Netflix specifically as a problem because a lot of internet traffic, like 2/3 of traffic on the internet, actually, I think, come from Netflix and video streaming services. But Netflix is actually properly licensed.
Yeah.
So, oh, but they argue that they're still not paying enough.
Yes, exactly.
Because surprisingly, when you don't control the distribution means, you don't matter and you don't get all the money.
Yeah.
So.
So this is what happens when you have remnants of an industry and they're just like, we need a handout. We're not going to survive without a handout. And it's like, okay, that sounds reasonable. We should totally do that. It's like, no, let them die. Let them die.
They won't.
No, they'll fight. And they'll make a lot of money doing it, whether they win or not.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about swatting the big, when was that? It was earlier in the year. The big swatting story where...
Oh, we live in fear of swatting all the time.
There was the guys were playing Call of Duty and somebody gave a fake address and the cops showed up. They shot the wrong man.
It was in Kansas, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a terrible tragedy. And so people are wondering, what can you do about this? Because, you know, the cops show up and they're militarized and they're going to kill you. Well, Seattle maybe has a solution.
The Seattle's police, techies, and streamers, the Seattle police are telling techies and streamers to sign up for an anti-swatting service. And there's been an update to this.
They don't necessarily, like, stop you from being swatted, but you put your name on this list. And if someone does make a call in on your address, they'll be like, well, we're going to go check it out. We're going to go knock instead of bust down the door.
Maybe.
They're not promising anything. They're just saying that. You know, just let us know and maybe we'll consider that. But
we'll try giving you a call before we, you know, gun down your window.
Now, it turns out they do have 911 actually has a way to flag numbers. So if there's like an old lady who's a little bit crazy who calls 911 every week, there is a way to flag her. And there's a way to flag, like, oh, here's a kid who is literally allergic to everything in the universe. There's a flag that 911 can put on those addresses. This is not that. This is a private company, but they're doing the same kind of thing.
Mm.
So, yeah. And it's something, I guess. I mean, swatting is just such a hideous thing because there's no defense against it. What are you going to do?
Yeah. There's no defense against it. And the machine is literally, like, bloodthirsty anyway. So...
Right.
It's like provoking the Borg. Don't provoke the Borg.
Well, the Borg is a good example of our next story because, you know, resistance is futile, right?
Kim.com has lost his privacy battle following the High Court of Appeal. So Kim.com has been, this is not like his main case. He's got like 7 cases going on in New Zealand because procedurally nobody followed procedure and it's just been a giant dumpster fire. Whether or not you think the guy is a you know, piracy kingpin or not, one of the things was that the government gave out information on him without proper due process, and he won that case, and he won a little bit of money from that case to release some of his assets. I don't know if it was release his assets, but he won some, like $100,000 of monetary. I think
it might
stuff.
Have been a settlement because it was unconstitutional.
Yes.
They said for sure this was unconstitutional, and so you need to get something for that.
And so the government in New Zealand appealed that, and on appeal, the government has sided with the government.
Shocking. Who could have ever predicted this outcome for the case? So he gets nothing, and he will continue to... Are they still working on the extradition thing?
Yeah, they're still trying to extradite him.
Yeah, I mean, you know...
Extradite him back to the U.S. that he's never been to.
The shape he's in, he might never
settle
down. You know, he might die before that comes. So. Who knows? Well, one of the big hot hashtags, one thing about here at Level 1, we are up to date on all the hottest hashtags.
Always.
One of the big ones for 2018, of course, was delete Facebook. But there's some bad news if you are a Facebook power user.
A Facebook bug has prevented users from deleting their accounts. No, not that bug. Not that other bug. This is another bug.
This is a new one. If you have too much stuff on your profile, the page will basically just time out and not let you delete it.
Yeah, it turned out.
Stacey ran into that.
So the algorithm actually had to consider how deleting all those posts would affect the rest of Facebook. So it was actually looping through all of your posts to determine what your deletion would look like. And if you have too many, it would time out.
Oops. Was that intentional? Should we not have done that?
Mm.
Whoops.
I mean, that you do hate to lose your most prolific posters, right? Although those people are just probably shit posters. Yeah.
Totally worthless.
But, just minion memes as far as the and multi-level marketing schemes.
The more,
a lot of anime.
The more posts there are, the more ads you can run. So why not, right?
It's all minion memes.
And we talked about Facebook last week running off the CEOs of all of the companies that they gobble up and assimilate. And so the question is Facebook trying to do things that these CEOs disagree with that's driving them away, as with the Instagram founder? You know, he released a press release and was like, I don't know, they're doing some weird things and I don't agree with it.
Huh, look at that. Instagram is testing the ability to share your precise location history with Facebook.
Revealed just weeks after Instagram's co-founders left the company.
I always like that when Facebook acquires somebody, they're like, we want, you know, this company's doing something really amazing. We don't want to do anything other than open up the possibility for the talent here to be able to do whatever they want. And then
as
that
long
talent
as it's what
leaves.
We want.
Yeah. And it's like, and we need all that data. We need the data. We need the data.
I can't believe it, Instagram. Who would have thought that Instagram would ever do something like this?
Stacey knew. Stacey don't care, though. She's an influencer.
There's about half the audience that didn't even get that reference. They totally didn't understand. Well, so how long before hashtag delete Instagram?
A lot of stuff gets past the audience.
I don't think people who like Instagram will delete it. Because it's really an addiction for younger people.
Yeah, I think Instagram is too hot right now. Eventually it will.
Yeah.
It'll die like all the others. But right now it's one of the big ones.
It's so hot right now.
I think that Instagram arguably is probably better than Facebook for building a psychological profile on somebody, because you can see the stuff that they like and the stuff that they don't like and what they spend time on without really even asking them in words.
Listen, I said this last week. You're definitely not getting rid of Instagram during legging season. You know, this is the hottest time.
Because Halloween?
There's Halloween. There's pumpkin spice season.
Yeah.
You know, you got all your new outfits for fall, your new scarves and like new lipstick.
Yeah, your slutty Halloween costume, you know, and your whole new wardrobe.
Traffic is up 300% in October.
And it's
I can see it.
It's white girl season. So those influencers, you know, like this is the time for them. They're at their peak. So maybe around Christmas you might, you know, get rid of it, but not now. Not right now. And finally, a Facebook story. Now this is I thought maybe Captain Obvious wrote this one too. But apparently some people are kind of surprised by this.
Undercover cops break Facebook rules to track protesters and ensnare criminals. So Facebook has a rule that you can't have, you know, like fake stuff on, like you can't be a fake person on Facebook, but you totally can if you're law enforcement. Facebook doesn't care. So you can be a police officer and it's like, hello, fellow criminal. Would you like some drugs today?
That is, I mean, literally, we
yeah,
can
if you
look
read
at
the text in the Bob Smith.
It's like
just a fellow protester.
You sound like a cop. I'm not a cop. So this was Bob Smith here. You can see Bob Smith, of course. Bob Smith was infiltrating Black Lives Matters, I think, and some similar organizations. And so what they figured out through Bob Smith and a couple of other court cases is Facebook, this is not something Facebook allows. But the court system will totally allow cops to use this as evidence.
Yeah.
So the fake cops that you're talking to on Facebook can absolutely use anything you say to them as evidence.
Not a lot of major media publications published anything on it. But do you remember the Wall Street, like the Wall Street sleep-in thing or whatever?
Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah, Occupy Wall Street. They there were a few people that went to the Occupy Wall Street protesters and it was like, man, we should.
We should bomb these motherfuckers.
Yeah. And the Wall Street, like the regular protesters, reported to law enforcement those people, and it was like, we think this guy's mentally unstable. It turns out that guy was working for law enforcement.
Yeah, I remember that. An interesting thing about this story, of course, Bob Smith, you know, he used the Guy Fawkes mask. But another cop that they interviewed with this was like, what we try to do, what you want to do is you want to find somebody who's overseas and you want to use their profile pictures because you need a real picture or nobody will believe you. But imagine if, you know, I mean, in the age of doxing, you're just, you know, overseas somewhere and some cop gets in one of these organizations with your picture and they figure it out and they're militant and you get killed.
I think the more hilarious thing would be that you get reported as the guy that's, you know, trying to, it's like, we need to throw rocks or make Molotov cocktails on Occupy. And it's like, well, that's your picture on this profile. Are you telling me that that's not you? Someone, and it's like,
someone could have just, you know, they could have taken this picture. No. Everyone knows that every picture is real on the internet.
Yeah.
So watch out for that. If you're engaged in protests and the like on Facebook, don't trust anybody.
Yeah, it's like, I don't, at what point did it become a thing to try to infiltrate peaceful protests? I mean, like,
well, this is an easy win for a lot of cops.
A lot of these protesters are like the nerdiest, most like non-dangerous people ever.
Yeah, but in large groups, they become terrifying. Yeah.
Speaking of large groups that become terrifying, check out that comment section.
Or the forums. Forums,
all over text.com. And on Friday, we've got a potpourri, a little bit of security. Mm. We got some, what else? We got with some robot stuff.
You know
a
lot who of loves potpourri? My dog.
She tries to eat the potpourri, doesn't she?
Yeah, she just she discovered it this week. It's been there ever since I've gotten her, but she discovered the bowl.
Do we have a viral video of that?
No, she doesn't, like, she'll just pull out a single, like, two or three pieces and then just sniff at them and then try to eat them. And I'm like, no. No. But you guys will also love potpourri. Just don't eat it.
Or you could eat it if you wanted to.
They could try. I have to print out the news article.
I don't see any cops around. You do what you want.
People eat sunflower seeds. I mean, it's a tasty, healthy snack. Potpourri.
I don't know.
It's covered in oil.
I don't know if it has the proven track record that sunflower seeds do. Yeah, and also nonsense on Friday, as usual. So, and one design story. Chris, I bet you didn't even read the design stories, did you?
Maybe I did. Maybe you'll have to watch.